Man, do you understand that song? That's my theme song. I can tell right now that God's doing something that I think what I prepared is just going out the window. Never going back to the way it used to be. Words to music, gospel, spirit-filled music is just so powerful. I do believe that, and we had a meeting after our last rehearsal, that music probably changes more lives than any preaching ever did, except if it was Jesus Christ Himself, obviously. This time of year, a lot of people are making a lot of plans for a lot of things. There's vacation planning, there's organization around the house. There's young people that have just graduated from school and they're trying to plan their entire life. What I want to say to you today is that planning is important. Well, most of our planning has to do with our physical selves. You know, is it going to make me feel better? Is it going to make me more money? Am I going to be more comfortable? Am I going to get to see something beautiful? And that's all good because we have to do it because we're physical people. Actually, we are spiritual beings in this physical body that Jesus gave us. And most of our planning has to do with our physical being, what we're going to end up doing, what we're going to end up being in life. And if I could go back and change something much earlier in life, it would be, I would do, my primary planning would be spiritual planning. And here's why. Look around you. And we're in 2018. In the year 2088, whatever, 100 years from now, probably not one of us in here is going to be here. So all this physical planning that we do, yes, we can. We'll have some enjoyment here, but it stops. It ceases. There is no more. We can't take it with us. And that is why it's so vital that we as Christians become filled with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, guide our physical lives, to help us with decisions. Young people that are graduating, those of you that are just starting careers, I've mentioned this to Brett and Savannah, I said, there's one thing you can do. Pray about it. Pray and wait and let God come into your life. You know, we make our plans, but it says God will direct our steps if we allow Him. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance. When I read this book, and I do frequently, the one thing that stands out, the overall picture of this entire book, when you get through it and you go through it several times, and let me tell you, there's still a whole bunch of it I don't get. But that's okay. What I've found is God unveils what I'm supposed to know when it's time to know it. Don't ever, when you start reading this book, don't get stuck. If you're going, man, I've read four chapters and I've been thinking about something else the whole time. Yeah, guess what? Me too. It's just you're not ready to receive that yet. But I want to tell you something. When God gives you something out of this book, it will jump off the page and knock you in the head like I was talking about the last Sunday I was here when He gave me new revelation about a couple of His stories in this book. The thing of it is this is a spiritual book to feed your spiritual life. And if you allow your spiritual life, the Holy Spirit within you, to guide your decisions, to help make your plans, I will guarantee you, you're going to live a more fulfilled life and a more blessed life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is not, when I say that, I'm not talking about if you follow the Spirit of God, that He's going to make you rich or you're going to live in the country club estates or whatever. It's nothing to do with that. It's about receiving the Holy Spirit in your choices that He will give you joy and peace no matter where you end up. One of the things the church needs to do in this day and age is to study and read the book of Acts. The Spirit led everything. God is trying to be a part of your life. If you read this book, you think about this. God created us. God created everything. Everything in this world He gave us to what? Glorify Him. You have that good coffee in the morning, it's glory to God. The cardinal that I see out on my wildflowers, glory to God. My wildflowers, glory be to God. Because without Him, I wouldn't have any of these physical experiences. I wouldn't be able to taste the good food. I wouldn't be able to smell the good smells of the roses. I wouldn't be able to enjoy the beauty and the serenity of looking at an ocean or a mountain stream or catching a fish or whatever your thing is. This is all given to us from God for one reason, so that we can glorify Him. Everything is a gift from God. And when I went through this and I was trying to prepare for this today, I knew I wanted to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and how it has changed my life and the direction of my life and the peace it's given me. That's what I always want to share is, I wish I could open up myself and the Spirit would come out of me for those, any of you here that are suffering or have fear. Or have anger, or have frustration, or just can't figure, God, why is this happening? Because I've been there. I've been there, and what happens is we get distracted and we get caught up in the physical of this world, our physical needs, our physical pain. There's sometimes it's overwhelming and we can't help it. In this Bible, to give you an example of how much God loves you and I, when He first created man, He put him in a special place. It was a sanctuary. It was called the Garden of Eden. And God walked amongst us. And His plan was that we and God would be in a partnership and He would supply everything we need. Everything. And of course, there was the fall and it broke. But did God give up on us? No. Next thing He does, He says, okay, their sin came into the world. So now what I'm doing, I'm going to have Moses. He's going to lead you people, special people out. And now I have to prepare a different type of sanctuary. Garden of Eden's locked up. You messed that up. So now I'm going to have Moses create the tabernacle out in the desert. It was basically a tent, but very specific instructions. The holiest of holies. There I will meet mankind under certain circumstances. And then the Ark of the Covenant, I will be there and I will talk with them from the Ark. I will be with them. And then finally Solomon comes along and he builds the temple. This is David's son, King David's son. He builds the temple where God would come and meet the people. He wanted a relationship with the people. Why? So that we can have a fulfilled life. And then after the temple came Jesus. He came in human form. He became one of us. Why? He wanted a relationship. He wanted to teach us. Listen, you're missing it. This is a spiritual life that I want to connect with you on. I want to connect with you on a higher level than what this flesh is. Because this flesh will lead you astray just like it did in the Garden of Eden. Because of our wants, our desires. God wants to have us filled with His Spirit so that we can live a fulfilling, complete life here and now in this physical world and keep lifting me up. So Jesus goes away. We crucify Him. And then what's He do? Does God give up? No. He sends us the Spirit. Jesus told us. He said, look, I'm here with you. But when I go away and go back to my Father in heaven, I'm sending my Spirit, and He will be in you. In you. So I'm reading this week, studying the Holy Spirit. Studying, trying to learn more and more. I look, I'm not an expert at anything. Mike Pellock will tell you that. I pretty much don't know too much of anything, but I do spend a lot of time. I spend a lot of time with God because that's where my peace is. And I do believe God, for whatever crazy reason, called me to do this. Makes no sense to me either, trust me. I'm sure it does make no sense to my mother either. I read this I'm in the book of Acts, at chapter 19. The apostle, Saul, has been converted. He's received the Holy Spirit. We've talked about Saul. What an amazing story. Here's a guy killing Christians, can't stand Christians. He's a Pharisee. He's a religious person. He wants religion in his life. Everything has a box. It's got to fit in the box. And Jesus blinds him. And says, listen, there's a new way to do it. What's he do? He does a 180. Becomes one of the greatest evangelist of all time spreading the word. You think that was one of the reasons that I sucked me into the Bible. I'm thinking, wait, if God can use a guy like Saul, who hated Christians, turns him around, fills him with the Spirit, what more can he do with us? It's endless what he can do with you when he fills you with his Spirit. But listen to this word. I've read this I don't know how many times, but jumped up and slapped me. And I want to talk a little bit about this today. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And he found some disciples there and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And here was their answer. He said, so they said to him, we have not so much as even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. These are believers teaching about Jesus Christ. And they said, well, what is the Holy Spirit? And so Paul says to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, well, we were baptized into John's baptism. And then Paul said, well, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, which is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then they begin to speak with new tongues and prophesied. In other words, they were set on fire. Their spirits came alive. There was a new power in them. Now, what I ask today is, how many Christians, people that have accepted Jesus Christ, do not know the Holy Spirit within them? I believe that's probably the way it is. Be baptized into the Holy Spirit. That woke me up. I think there's so many defeated Christians in this world because they haven't met the Holy Spirit yet. It's not even their fault. Maybe what this church needs to do, all of us, we should gather at the lake, the river, the swimming pool, all be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. All I know is this, is if you get what I have inside, it's going to change the direction of your life. It'll change you forever. It's the most powerful, wonderful, amazing thing you can ever experience. Is the power of the Spirit of God coming into your life and changing you. It gives you the power to not go back to the way things used to be. You know, we're talking about planning and being led. I wonder, just as an experience, and I think I know what the answer would be. If we could all follow and Monday morning we go and we knock on the door of 100 churches all over the place. Catholic Church, the Baptist Church. It doesn't matter what type of church. And you go in and you knock on the door and you go into the main office and you ask this question. Who's in charge of this church? I would bet 90% of the time, maybe more than that, they'd say, well, the pastor, the board, the deacons. We have a fellowship. No, that's not what the book of Acts says. Jesus is in charge of the church. His Spirit living within us is in charge of the church. We should do nothing without the Spirit's guidance. Nothing. But we live in the flesh and we get caught up in the flesh and everything we try to do is like, well, do I like this? Do I not like this? I don't know. Maybe we need a different colored carpeting. Maybe we should put Starbucks in the church. Maybe we should. Only if the Holy Spirit leads it. The interesting thing when you read the book of Acts, the Spirit led everyone in the book of Acts. It stopped them from doing things. Here's the crazy thing. When you read the book of Acts, there are stories in there where the disciples are going out preaching in the power of the Spirit. They're converting many people. And they were going from town to town. And yet it says in there are towns that they would get ready to go into and the Spirit would stop them. Now, is going into a town and converting people to the name of Jesus and filling the Spirit good? Yes, but the Spirit would stop them from entering some towns. I don't know. It doesn't elaborate why. And it had them go into other towns and everything was Spirit-led. Now, the question is, was that what they call dispensation only then or is it available now? And what comes to mind when I think that is, well, wait a minute. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same God. Why would He change that? If the Spirit is what will lead us into a deeper meaning and relationship with Jesus Christ, why in the world would He take that away? I'm going to tell you right now, no, the Spirit is alive and well. And if you're struggling with your Christian life, with the world pulling you, I'm going to tell you right now, I still struggle once in a while, but not like I used to. The Spirit will change you. It has changed our marriage. It changes the way we think, the way we act. It changes things. And we don't want to go back to where it was before I believed and have the Spirit filled, where I go and pray about everything. When you start living your life, waking up in the morning going, God, what is going on today? You know, I shared a story. I'm going to share this with the Baptist next. I shared this story, but the reality of the Spirit of God is amazing. And I'm going to share these stories because they're so good. And some of you have heard this, but you know, we went to Florida. I was with the Shriners, and Bonnie had a big meeting. And I didn't have to be in the meeting because I don't know anything. So she said, you need to take a walk for a while. Take a walk. So I decided to go to the beach. I went to the beach. I was dressed fairly nice for a beach. And my prayer was, God, who do you want me to talk to today? I actually have this on video. I could show you. I didn't put it up here today. And I'm walking down the beach, and here's the people. You know, they got their swimsuits on. Here I am, decent clothes. It wasn't real hot, and I'm walking, and I see this young mom, and she's got a severely handicapped child strapped to her front. His legs are strapped to her legs. His feet are on top of her feet. His body is here, and she's walking down the beach. And this little kid, you know, he's got no control over his muscles. He was about 8 years old, 9 years old. He reminded me of Benny. So I went up to her. And I just introduced myself. I said, you know, I noticed your son. I said, you know, I have a son that has a disability. And I started asking, and she gave me the name of whatever his disability is. It was this long. And she said, in our conversation, it wasn't a long conversation, I said, do you mind if I take a video? I said, that harness really interests me. And I, you know, I'm connected to Beverly Farm. Kristen and Lori both worked there. So the conversation goes, and she says, you know, what a struggle it's been. And she says, man, if I could only meet someone who could connect me to the Shriners. I'm with the Shriners main organization. And I looked and I said, God, I know why you sent me here today. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. I'm going to tell this other story because it's so good and it's so real. Bonnie and I follow the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Jim Cimbala tells a story that one Sunday, you know, they do three services a Sunday. And he's sitting there like normal. The choir, amazing choir, like these gals, amazing singing going on. And they usually sing for about half an hour. Because we've been to the church several times. It's just the music is so powerful because there's like 350 of them in the choir, if you can imagine. 350 of these gals and guys. And he says during the first song, he gets this overwhelming feeling in his spirit. The Holy Spirit is knocking on him going, get up there and take that microphone and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not what he was going to talk about today. The gospel, in other words, sharing the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And Jim's going, I don't know, man, you know, that just would be so disruptive. I don't know what to do. But Jim said it kept hitting him. So as soon as that song, he ran up and said, Carol, give me the mic. Grabbed the microphone. He says, listen, I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to tell the church. God said for me to preach the gospel, so that's what I'm going to do. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit today working in people's lives. And so he preaches the gospel. There's an altar call. Many people come up. And then they continue with their service and he goes home. Shot. He said, just worn out. So Tuesday or Wednesday that week, he gets a letter in the mail. And they get thousands of letters, but someone brought him this particular letter. And he says, Jim, I think you ought to read this. And he read this letter, and it was from a couple in California. And they had been to the Brooklyn Tabernacle that particular Sunday where Jim interrupted everything. And the story was this. They said, Pastor Cimbala, this past week we went to your service at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. He said, I have to tell you what happened. It was the most miraculous thing. We have a teenage son who's been on drugs, who's been alcohol, he's been arrested, he doesn't know up, right from wrong, up from down, what, black from white. He's lost. We've tried everything. We're losing him. And so we came up with this idea, because we've been following your church, let's take a trip to New York, go to the Brooklyn Tabernacle, maybe a miracle will happen. And they told their son, hey, we're going to New York City, we're going to Times Square, we're going to go up in the Freedom Tower, we're going to do all these things, we'll go see a play on Broadway, whatever you want to see. So the son agrees to come along. But he doesn't really want to be with the family. And they didn't tell him anything about the Brooklyn Tabernacle. So Sunday was the day they're to fly out. But they had, you know, planned that they're going to get to the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Usually the services last about an hour and a half. They get there, and the husband pulls out his plane tickets and looks at them and says, oh my God, I've got the times wrong. We came to a later service. We're not going to be able to hear Jim preach. Because he knew that they'd sing for at least a half an hour. He said, we'll be able to hear about two songs and we're going to have to leave. We're going to have to leave. And we've missed the whole point. Oh, God, this is why. And he said, the most amazing thing happened. We're there. And after one song, you got up and gave the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after you prayed and asked people to come, our son raised his hand, was one of the first ones that came down and received Jesus. His life has been changed. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of God working in churches that will change this world. Here's the thing. The church will not change until we change, because we are the church. Ain't the building, ain't the denomination, none of that. God is, you are the church. I am the church. When we are empowered with the Holy Spirit, you know what can happen to the church? Lives change. People change. Directions change. Hearts that are broken are mended. People are healed. People that are on drugs get off drugs. That is the power of the church. That is what has to change. So my message to you today is we need to do whatever it takes to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you will start planning your life differently than you're planning now, because you will be led by the Spirit of God. And what is the easiest way to get the Holy Spirit? I just begged for it. I said, God, fill me. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit. I need everything you can give me. I need daily filling. I need hourly filling. God, there's times when I know I don't feel the Spirit. And it just leaves me in a quandary. That's why I don't want to go back to being just a physical being in this world, enjoying my glass of wine once in a while, seeing something beautiful. I do want to see the beauty. I want to enjoy it. But when you have the Spirit of God within you, the beauty is amplified 1,000-fold. And let's go back to this. Look around. We're not going to be here in 100 years. Where are you going to be? I want to be with Jesus singing these songs with 1 million people and the angels singing glory. I won't go back. I won't go back to the way it used to be. That is my message. That is my message. Oh God, today, let's not wait anymore. Today, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit into every heart here. My heart. Everybody that sings in the choir's heart. Because we need help with our decisions. We need help with our plan for our life. We need help. We need to be filled so that we can fill others. It comes through love. It changes love. It changes everything. So God, your mercy. Us sinful people, we come humbly before you. We repent. And we ask that you fill us in this moment with the Holy Spirit of God. Can you girls come up and sing that song one more time? Can you play that song one more time? And let's all sing. You want to stand, you can stand. You don't have to stand. My thing, let your heart listen to these words. And while this song is being sung, let's just ask for God to fill our spirits. Fill our spirits with the Holy Spirit so when we walk out of here, you never have to go back to the suffering, the pain, the anger, and the frustration. It's real. Is it real, Jennifer?
I think we miss it sometimes.
We miss it. It's easy to miss. Is it real, Lori? Anna. Girls, sing your little hearts out.